Blog Talk Radio.
Ace was born to race. He had a mean streak 2 feet wide. A son of a gun with a taste for fun and more than his share of pride. Take a dirt road curve with the devil's nerve. Make a car dance across the mud. And haul and shine with his regular lines. And the track got in his blood. He was a real hot shot and he bragged a lot. But man, that fool could drive. Cause he loved the feel of the steering wheel and the girls with the bedroom eyes. And in a racing tide or a barroom fight, old Stroker stole the show. A backstretch blazer, a real hellraiser, and a racetrack Romeo.
Mama, lock your daughters up, that foul bunch is back in town. And them little girls get frisky when they hear that race car sound. They're bringing out the yellow flag, somebody's brakes have failed. There's a horse slick on the inside and a wreck along the rail. You better stand on the stroker, cause a bandit's on your tail.
It's a downright joy for a country boy when he hears them engines moan. But you gotta hang tough and it gets real rough when you're out there on your own. Cause they'll push you around, they'll knock you down, they'll shove you up against the wall. And you always know when the engine blows that a man can't win them all. You could push that car just a little too far any Sunday afternoon. And if you'd break your neck, some damn fool wreck, they'd forget about you soon. But old Stroker Ace was born to race and it's worth all the trying. Just to drink champagne in the victory lane and to hear that concrete whine.
Stroker, get your dander up, this ain't no time to lag. You got to make a lap up if you're gonna take that checker slide. Number 10 is closing in to even up the score. It's time to wave bye-bye and put the pedal on the floor. You better stand on the stroker cause you're blowing off their door.
Blow the doors off, stroker. Stand on it, son. Good-looking devil, you.
Good evening, Fastlane Sports Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Fastlane Sports Show, presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. We are back tonight for another show here on this wonderful, rainy, overcast Monday night, but we are back to update you on how the world of outlaws are going. We've got lots of sprint car news. We've got late models going right now as well. Big news there in the dirt racing scene. Plus, we've got NASCAR just wrapped up their regular season. So now the playoff stage is set. We'll see who's in, who is out, and we'll find out what we are doing for the Fastlane Sports Show NASCAR Pick'em League. Plus, we've got some other updates, some other news. We're going to try and cram it all into the next 2 hours. So thank you for tuning in. Keep it tuned right here to the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network till 10 o'clock or beyond. Who knows? It might go later. I'm not sure yet. We've got a lot to talk about. If it does go past 10, you'll have to tune back in and fast forward all the way to 10 o'clock and listen to the rest of the show. But we are here for the next couple hours, so keep it tuned right here. Let's go!
From the 357 Woodworks Studios in Stark County on the SNS Radio Network, this is the Fastlane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tonich.
This is the Fastlane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. It's another rainy Monday night here at the studios.
Talking to sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but cry. Rainy days and thunders always get me down. What?
Oh, that's right. It's another rainy Monday night here in Stark County at the Fastlane Sports Show Studios. But have no fear. It's not going to be a rainy show. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot of big stuff happening in dirt racing. We'll have we'll do a little talking dirt with Christina here in just a minute. Thank you to all of our wonderful sponsors for being patient with me the last few weeks. Not in the right place. Needed to take a week off. I took a week off to move our oldest back down to Columbus a couple Mondays ago. He goes to Ohio State He was up here towards the end of summer for a couple weeks in between his new apartment that he was getting. So we moved him back down there. And then last Monday had a lot going on with work and other things. So took another Monday off. But we are back tonight. We'll be back next Monday. I know next Monday's Labor Day, but we'll be back again next Monday. We've got some great stuff going to happen with the show. Things are going to be changing. So after Labor Day, I can't promise we'll be on every Monday again. We'll get to that later towards the end of the show. We got a lot to talk about. I don't want to take up too much time. But thank you to the great sponsors who are patient with me and the show. Margazzano Designs, check them out on Facebook. Jamie Kelly with Keller Williams Realty. If you need a realtor, check out Jamie Kelly. If you need a race photographer, check out Debbie G Photography. We'll talk about her in just a little bit, coming up in the second hour as well. Who else we got? We got Hardcore Fishing Game, of course, big sponsor of the show. We got 357 Woodworks, Scott over there with the wood shop, with the studio sponsorship, thanks to him. 357 Woodworks, we love you guys. Big shout out to you. Racer Chasing Apparel. They bring us Talking Dirty every weekend, every Monday. We couldn't do it without her. Thanks to her. She was just at Daytona, in fact, at the race yesterday. So, and we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. But all the sponsors who make this possible, we appreciate you guys. And, of course, Barbasol. Can't forget Barbasol. They allow us to have the awesome phone line that we have to allow our awesome fans to call in. And, of course, we do it all for the fans, and we do it because of you guys, and we appreciate you guys just as much, if not more, than all the wonderful sponsors of the show. Everybody is important and means a lot to me and this show. And Christina, I know she appreciates everybody as well. And I know she's itching and dying to do it, so let's get dirty. Oh, that's right. It's about to get dirty. Not so much in the dirty South. Well, I guess half the show is in the dirty South. No, it's about to get dirty here on the Fastlane Sports Show. I'm now joined by my awesome, wonderful co-host, Miss Christina. Good evening, Christina.
What is happening, party people?
Well, it's stormy and rainy and nasty up here tonight.
You guys have had some
rain. You guys have had some rain down there in Florida as well. In fact, the Daytona 400, the Coke Zero Sugar Free, whatever Coke Daytona race that was supposed to run Saturday, got rained out to Sunday, and we ended up running it Sunday morning, early morning, afternoon. It's wet up here. All that rain must have came up here now, so we're getting it now.
Yeah, now it's still here. We are in the middle of hurricane season. I had a big gripe, and I had to set some people straight on Twitter. Sorry about your luck, but, I mean, that's what's going to happen here. But, yeah, it rained here today as well. There's still a chance of rain. Tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday into about the 12th
November?
Of September. So, yeah,
yeah.
Probably. So, I mean, rain's here every day. But, we'll talk about the fans and NASCAR in a little bit. But, some people need to be set straight in life. So, it happens.
We do. And I can't wait to hear the penalty box that is soon to come up towards the end of the show. But we've got a lot of World of Outlaws to get caught up on, Christina, because we've taken a couple Mondays off and we've had quite a bit of racing since the last time we've been on the air. In fact, last time we were on the air, we were talking about the Knoxville Nationals. Donnie Schott wins that. I believe that's his second. Is that his second or multiple Knoxville National? Anyway.
Like three. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot.
So Donnie, the old man gets the win in Knoxville again, wins the Knoxville Nationals out there. But then the World of Outlaws kind of go north a little bit. They've been in Minnesota. They've been in North Dakota. In fact, that's where they just ran this past Saturday, was up in North Dakota. And, of course, we're talking about the NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars in World of Outlaws. And, Christina, we see Shark Racing got a couple wins at Knoxville, although they didn't really count towards the World of Outlaw points for those couple wins. But Shark Racing has been, we'll say they've been pretty good this year, getting some wins throughout the year. Jacob Allen getting a few wins. I think he's got three on the year now. Logan Schuhart picks up another win on the 19th, the Friday, August 19th, the first of two nights at the Jackson Motorplex for the Jackson Nationals. Shark Racing finding victory lane again, Christina.
I mean, that's what they do. They, this is what they want to do, is be in victory lane. And, I mean, both have had great times. They've done well, and that's all you can hope for. And not only that, Jacob Allen hasn't had a bad year either. Those guys have been trying their best and getting better, and I think it shows this year especially. Like you said, they both went back-to-back at Knoxville and got some wins there. Then we saw after Knoxville, first night at Jackson, we saw Logan get a win. It's great, and, I mean, we've seen some of the similar names keep getting wins and wins, which is all you can hope for. And these guys are getting a lot better at what they do, and you can't expect anything else.
Yeah, I mean, as a team, Shark Racing has five wins on the year. They've got 33 top fives, and they've got, They've got 60 top 10 among the two drivers. Of course, Logan Schuhart having more top fives than top tens, but Jacob Allen, he's got those three wins compared to Logan's Schuhart's two. But those two wins, Christina, even at Knoxville, although they didn't count towards the points, they didn't count towards total wins for the year, that still has to give that team some momentum and some hope and good feeling that they're on the right path and they've got those two cars dialed in.
Yeah, and that's all you can hope for is, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're getting that experience and getting better week in and week out, and it shows the growth of the team in general, not just the growth in Logan, but also the growth in Jacob as well. And as a whole, they're growing and performing and being better and better. So all these other teams are looking at that and they're like, oh shit, we got to step up our game. And you've seen that in certain drivers and certain teams have really stepped back up.
Yeah. It's just been, you know, for any team would love to have the success and put up the numbers that Shark Racing has put up this year. They happen to be doing it in a year when a couple other teams are just head and shoulders above everybody else right now, and we'll talk about that. In fact, one of those guys got the second win or got a win on the second night of the Jackson Nationals. Christina, Carson Macedo, he's got that car dialed in. This win in the Jackson Nationals, that was his ninth win on the year. We'll talk about what he's done since then, but winning night two at the Jackson Nationals, Christina, Carson just, that team just has that car, that 41 car is just completely dialed in.
Yeah, and that's what you hope for, especially Jason Johnson. This is what he's wanted for this team when they built it prior to, you know, him being, being killed and leaving, you know, what our worldly earth and everything. But, I mean, that's what he wanted. And Carson Macedo is doing exactly that. And that whole team is doing exactly that. And it's living and breathing what Jason envisioned, which I think is amazing, and it shows in this whole entire team.
Yeah, Carson is just he is kicking some ass right now in that car. From there, we move to North Dakota. We go to River City Speedway, the second leg of the Northern Tour, it's called. This was last Friday, August 26th. We see Brad Sweet pick up win number four for himself on the year. And he's just maintaining. He's not really gaining any ground on David Gravel, but he really hasn't lost any ground to David Gravel either. But win number four coming for Brad Sweet this past Friday in Grand Forks. Brad's got to be pretty excited to get a couple wins here in the last month or so. He wins the Ironman 55. Doesn't do as well, I'm sure, as he wanted to in Knoxville, but comes back here to Grand Forks and picks up his fourth win of the year.
Yeah, and I think he almost forgot how to win there for a little while because, you know, he hasn't been winning nearly as much as he has in a couple years past, and it's really showing that some of these other guys are here to play and here to win, and they're not going to, you know, just hand him another title. And you see that with Sheldon, you see it with Carson, you see it, with Shark Racing here and there as well. So, I mean, I think Brad's really found that there's a lot of competition for him this year.
Yeah, he definitely hasn't had an easy road ahead of him in 2022. But for the second race, they called it the Duel in the Dakotas. We go to West Fargo, North Dakota, to Red River Valley Speedway. This was this past Saturday, and Christina, again, Carson Macedo finding victory lane and picking up win number 10. He is now the first driver in 2022 in the NOS Energy Drink Sprint Car Series to get double-digit wins, win number 10 on the year. And he has 10 wins on the year, but Christina, the problem is Brad Sweet has been so consistent all year that it doesn't show in the points category as much as it shows in the win column, Christina.
Yeah, he's had a little bit of unfortunate luck as well. And, it's a lot of these young guys think of it this way, which we saw in NASCAR, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. It's either wreckers or checkers. It ain't any in between. We need to focus more on consistency and being better and being in that top 10, top fives when we're not podiuming. And I know it's hard, and you want to get the win, and you're going full gas you know, throughout the year, and that's going to, it hurts, and it shows, and this is where it shows. Unfortunately, he may have 10 wins, but he's sitting third in points.
Yeah, he is.
Mind you, he's only roughly 100 points out of the lead. A lot can change till we get to November. I mean, he's got 2 months coming up that could be huge for him leading into World Finals. And, I mean, that's what they need to focus on, 2 months to make up 100 points and see Brad Sweet unravel. That's what they're hoping for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, by no means is Carson Macedo completely out of the running for the championship, but he does have a lot of work to do to catch up to Brad Sweet. In fact, talking about the points, Christina, Brad Sweet does lead those points with his 4 wins. He leads David Gravel, who is 66 points behind. David Gravel has 5 wins on the year. He's got one more win than Brad Sweet, and he's got one more top 10 finish than Brad Sweet. They're tied in the top fives, but again, Brad Sweet has been consistent all year. You know, David Gravel having a few bad weeks, races, has kind of put him in a hole. So, you know, he might have about the same numbers as Brad Sweet, but if you're not consistent the entire year, this is when you start to find yourself in a hole. Carson Macedo in third, as you mentioned, with 96 points behind Brad Sweet with his 10 wins. Sheldon Houdenshield in fourth, 154 points back with 8 wins. Donnie Schatz, the Knoxville National winner, he's got 3 wins. He's fifth. Logan Schuhart, sixth. James McFadden, Spencer Baston, Jacob Allen, Brock Zierfoss round out your top 10. Of those top 10 drivers, still without a win, has not been able to find the top of that podium yet, is Mr. James McFadden. In that number 83 car. So, but again, we still have a lot of racing left for these guys. So James still has plenty of time to find victory lane. And a couple of these top guys, Christina, they still have time to run Brad Sweet down, but they're going to need Brad to have quite a bit of bad luck.
I mean, it could happen though. You could go with a bad spell. You could have a motor blow up. You could have a lot of things happen. I mean, don't count some of these guys out yet. It's not only a matter of time before, you know, something bad happens. You never know.
Right. Never know. Also, let's talk about the other day, I believe it was Saturday. It might have been Friday, but it was either Friday or Saturday. At one of the World of Outlaw races up there in the Dakotas. Okay, maybe he ran both of them. Let's talk about the 16-year-old who became the youngest, I believe it was, the youngest World of Outlaw driver to get a podium, Mr. Ryan Timms, at 16 years of age, racing with these Outlaws. And getting a podium finish, Christina. How about that?
This is why you never give up on your dreams, boys and girls, ladies and gents. This is why. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter if you've ran 2,500 races, 2 races. Anything is possible. You can go out there and beat the world's best. Look, we saw a mediocre NASCAR driver do the same thing. But it's the fact of the matter that anything is possible. The kid didn't give up. He's good. He's a great local race car driver as well. So
yeah.
Seeing that happen, it is not inevitable. These guys are going to lose the local drivers. Look, they lose to the PA Posse quite frequently. And it is what it is. And this kid went out there and proved he can run with the world's greatest and beat them. And he
yeah.
should be proud of that. And he should be flaunting it. I mean, I'm just saying, 16-year-old, he's 16. Some of these guys are mid-20s. Some of these guys are low 40s. I mean, an age bracket. Like, anything is possible, and you don't give up, and you keep fighting, and that's what it's all about, and he went and he proved that.
Yeah, it was Saturday at Red River Valley. He finished second. So not only did he podium, Christina, but he finished second. Not only did he finish second, Christina, he started top five for the race. He's from Oklahoma. He only finished a second back behind Carson Macedo, but he also finished damn near a second ahead of Brad Sweet. So he beat out drivers like Brad Sweet, David Gravel, Sheldon Haldenshield, Logan Schuhart, Donnie Schatz, drivers that have been coming to Red River Valley Speedway probably for about as many years as this kid has been alive. These drivers have been not only coming to Red River Valley, but have been racing. So congrats, big shout out to
Donnie Schatz for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Donnie Schatz has probably been driving longer than I've been alive. But no, I'm just kidding. But no, big shout out to Ryan Timms on his second place finish, his podium finish there on Saturday night in West Fargo, North Dakota. Bright future ahead of him. If he keeps running like that, Christina, he should have no problem finding companies to sponsor him, to get on board with him. He may have a bright, bright World of Outlaw future ahead of him if he can do stuff like that now.
That's what it's about, getting that sponsorship, getting your name out there, getting your face out there. He did what he needed to do. And take notes, folks. It can be done. World of Outlaw drivers can be beat.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Let us go ahead. Christina, let's switch bodies, and let's go from our sprint car wings to our late model bodies, and let's talk about the World of Outlaw Case Construction late models. Since we've been on the air, they were at Williams Grove Speedway on Friday, August 19th, and we've seen Shane Clanton pick up the win there at Mechanicsburg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, nothing against Shane. It's just that track is set up, so it needs help. But please, if you're looking to buy a racetrack of any sort, please fulfill your destiny of getting another one. But yeah, so Shane wins that race, but Centerville PA native Max Blair finished second. And then we saw Rick Eckert, Slick Rick, who is a local in Pennsylvania, York, PA, but he runs locally in all the Pennsylvania tracks, finished top five. And we saw a variety of other drivers in that mix as well. So a lot of great racing, though, out on Saturday. I mean, Friday, whenever it was. I'm not good with days anymore, folks. My days blend together. I work 7 days a week now. It's hard. Dan Stone, who is usually big in PA, he's from Thompsontown, PA. He ended up finishing last. That was disappointing. It was a DNF. There was a big old wreck. Took half of them out. So, and then I wish we would have stayed in PA longer, but we didn't. We go to Sharon Speedway, the 20th, and we see Devin Moran win. Now, Battle at the Border is what they call it. That's a fitting name. But the local Ohio boy gets it done. Sam Clayton wasn't going anywhere. He finished third. No real looking here. We saw Jared Miley. He's from Pittsburgh, PA. Finished fifth. But mostly ran by, you know, the World Outlaw guys taking over. And then they were supposed to run the 21st. Unfortunately, that got canceled. I was a little disappointed. I wanted to see what they would do at Tri-City. But nonetheless, that got canceled. And then we run the Quad Cities 150 in Davenport, Iowa. They like running out there in Davenport. So we saw Jason, I can't say that last name. I don't even know. Seager. Oh, okay. He wins night one Thursday night. And then Friday night, Tanner English decided it was his turn to win. And then, oh, Lord, he won two in a row. So, yeah, there you have it. Quad City 150 on Saturday. That was the finale. We saw Tanner English win again. So Tanner English really must like Davenport Speedway because he's done good there.
Yeah, he picks up $30,000 this past weekend getting those wins for the Quad City 150.
Yeah, he did well, and I mean, why not? If he won the finale with a 0.5 seconds over Bobby Pierce, and then Shannon Babb ran out the top three. Oh, I can't even talk today. Ooh, words are hard. So, yeah, we saw great racing, and if I'm not mistaken, aren't they racing today?
I would have to.
Oh, no, I lied. No, I lied. September 2nd.
Oh, okay.
Thought I saw somebody was racing today, but no. So they are off now until September 2nd. But let's take a shake-a-jake at these point standings and see what's going on there, because I don't know, and it's weird, because of all the folks we just mentioned, Dennis Erb was not one of them.
No, he wasn't.
But he's still leading the point. So he's pulling essentially what Brad Sweet's doing, winning a couple times, maintaining a decent points lead. But Tanner English is climbing and getting there slowly. He's about 100 points back, and he's in second right now. So he jumped Max Blair, because I believe the last time we were on the show, those two were flipped.
Yes.
And positioning. So Max Blair has dropped to third. Tanner English has moved himself up to second. That's what happens when you win two in a row, folks, especially 150 lap features. Amazing that we can run 150 laps on late models and they don't destroy everything under the sun. Shocking. It happens. But yeah, so that is what happened. Now, before we leave either of these series, please make sure you pre-order now and get your World of Outlaw Dirt Racing game. It will be available on Xbox One, Xbox Series One, Xbox Series XS, PS4, and PS5. It's out now on pre-order, folks.
Let's also talk about, I'm sure you, this is from your area. I believe it happened this past weekend. Have you heard anything about the driver that was airlifted from, I believe it was Williams Grove?
Williams Grove. Yeah. Williams Grove. I mean, all right, for the folks that are not well-versed on Williams Grove, this happens from a lot. I'm not even going to lie to you. This happens. That track is not clearly as safe as it should be. So, let's talk about, his name is Wayne Godshell. All right, hold on. We got to get rid of the ad. I don't know what's going on here. It's a post. That's the thing. It was a live broadcast, so folks got to watch it live. That's what happened. It's high speed. It's going to happen. Flipped down the back stretch. He landed on top of the wall and continued to flip. He made wheel-to-wheel contact off turn two with another competitor, and that's what happened. It was a vintage race car, mind you. Folks, this is a super sportsman. It's not a sprint car. It's not a late model. It's a super sportsman. These are vintage. They're ACRM or whatever they're calling it, series. Now, he was landed. He was airlifted, taken to the local hospital. You know, this is during the All-Star Circuit of Champions. He was alert when he was responded, and that they actually canceled, that series canceled their race at Lincoln that was scheduled later that week. But he's doing fine. You know, there's been no update as to where he's got serious injuries, but he's doing better. He was alert, I think, as a precaution just because of what happened. And he is injured, obviously. To what extent, I don't know, because they don't have a whole lot out there. Unfortunately, that's a problem, because if it's not involving a sprint car or a late model, sometimes it doesn't get as much press. But he's been doing better, so you've got to understand these days. At least they take this stuff seriously, folks. He could have had a head injury, a concussion, but he's doing better, so that's a plus for them.
Well, at least he's doing better. That's really all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
We will definitely be thinking about him, though, and hope that he makes a full recovery. Let's move on to the All-Stars, because they've had quite a week and a half as well since we've been on the air.
They've been in PA.
They have, and we've got somebody who is really causing some waves here in the All-Star Series. We'll start with August 20th, which was two Saturdays ago, basically. We went racing in Vernon, New York. Actually,
mm-hmm.
they started on the 19th. They
yeah.
were at Outlaw Speedway in New York. Justin Marks
they were in
picked up. Yeah, in Dundee, New York. Justin Marks picks up the win there. He beat
Wait,
out
no, no,
Dietrich.
No, no, no. Not Justin Marks.
Brett Marks. I'm sorry. Brett Marks. I'm getting all my drivers mixed up here. No, Brett
you
Marks.
You just merged NASCAR with sprint car racing.
I did, didn't I?
You did.
I got NASCAR in the brain. No, Brett Marks picks up the win. He beats out Danny Dietrich and Corey Eliason to get that win. Night number two in New York, we go to Vernon, New York, to Utica Rome Speedway. This is 10,000 to win race here. Justin Peck picks up the win. Let's see. This is win number five this night on Saturday, August 20th. That would be win number five for Justin there. He beats out Sunshine and Brent Marks for that race. The next night, they were supposed to run Sunday. It seems like Mother Nature didn't want anybody to race on Sunday, August 21st, because that race got rained out as well there. They're supposed to run in Westport, New York. So we move on to August 24th. Now we take about a nice little Pennsylvania swing here with the exception of one night at Bridgeport Speedway. But Christina, these next five races, Justin Peck picks up three wins. Tyler Courtney with three runner-ups. But Christina, Justin Peck is causing some waves here in the All-Stars. He wins at Bloomsburg Speedway in Pennsylvania. He wins at Bridgeport in New Jersey, and he gets the win at Lincoln Speedway. That makes eight wins on the year for Justin Peck. Tyler Courtney with five wins, but just like we see in the Outlaws, Christina, consistency is everything, because Tyler Courtney still has a 112-point gap over Justin Peck.
Yeah.
Just right there shows you that consistency is what really will win a championship.
Yeah, and I think I made the comment that he was going to go back-to-back. So, I mean, I could be right. The sunshine is proving me right thus far.
So far, he definitely is. I mean, he's got that team and that car. They've got it where it's comfortable for him. And even when he's not getting wins, the difference between Tyler Courtney and some of these other drivers is even on the nights he's not getting a win, he's finishing on the podium. I mean, he podiumed at Knoxville. He podiumed at Utica, podiumed at Bloomberg, podiumed at Bridgeport, podiumed at Bedford. So he's getting those podiums, and that is what is making the difference.
Yeah, and we've got two big racetracks coming up, which will be a total of 5 days of racing. This is what I love about Memorial Day weekend. I wish, this is the one weekend a year I wish I was still in Pennsylvania, is for this coming weekend. That is it. One,
well,
I can't, I mean, I'm a fat kid at heart. I love food, and it's the Juniata County Fair week. So everybody else has been enjoying delicious fair food, and I'm stuck in hot, rainy Florida. But that's okay. I'd rather have sun, rain, and hot than snow. I'll take it any day. So, but first, before we get to that, we're going to make a pit stop in Blaney country, and we'll be in Sharon Speedway for 2 days of racing. We're going to have the Sharon Nationals on September 2nd, which is Friday, so which will be 6,000 to win. Then this coming Saturday, so the next 2 weekends, honestly, this whole from starting from Friday to next Sunday, that's the only time I wish I was in Pennsylvania. And then this coming Saturday, we will have Sharon Speedway hosting the Lou Blaney Memorial, Sharon Nationals, which the Lou Blaney Memorial will be $12,000 to win. And yes, you've heard it right. That's Lou Blaney. That is Ryan Blaney's grandfather, which we saw him and his dad race briefly together against each other at Sharon Speedway, where his grandma said, "Drivers, start your engines." That's probably the coolest thing ever, which thank you to them for doing that. That was a great thing. And then following that, they'll get a couple of days off because they're all going to travel to Port Royal. They all do it. They all will have fair food for 3 days leading up to this coming weekend because they're always there early. It's a great time to be at Port Royal. Once you leave Sharon, you can camp. They have camping available and everything else at the fairgrounds, which is where the racetrack is. If you don't know, folks, and you've never been to Port Royal, I suggest you go. So the 9th will be, the 8th, I'm sorry, we're going to get an extra day in because now they make it 3 days thing instead of two. So the 8th, which is Thursday, we're just going to get a regular $8,000 to win race for the sprint cars to lead up, I guess, prep your car and get your asses ready for two big shows at the, you know, they don't call it the Speed Palace for nothing. And then we're going to have what we like to call the night before the 50. If y'all don't know, it's Tuscarora 50 weekend is always the last weekend of the fair and the second weekend in September after Labor Day. And if you're real fun and you want to, you know, really get fun in games, it's not listed on the All-Star schedule because it's not an All-Star sanctioned race. But Labor Day Classic will happen. These All-Star guys will run in it. Now, there's zero prep for the 50 when you run the Labor Day Classic because it's ran in the middle of the day. But it's fun. So if you want something to do on Labor Day, go to Port Royal Speedway. They have $10 racing. It's literally half the cost of a normal show. So, yeah, we'll have the night before the 50, which is $10,000 to win next Friday, next Saturday. The big old buckaroo race. If you ain't seen it and you ain't been there, you ought to go. It will be $55,000 to win. It's the granddaddy of them all. It will be the Tuscarora 50, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the highest paying race of the circuit.
Yeah, because I think it's even more than the final race of Ohio Sprint Speed Weeks.
Oh yeah, $55,000.
Yeah, it was only $20,000 to win for that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is $55,000 to win, The next closest, as you said, will be the last day of Ohio Speed Week and the Lincoln's Dirt Classic, which is 20,000 to win. Mind you, this is $55,000 on the line. And if you're like Tony Stewart, you're going to wreck your grandma to win this race, as you should.
And even the Silver Cup race is only 25,000 to win. So
exactly, folks, $55,000 to win. If you're not there, what are you waiting on? Go, Pete. I'm talking to you. You need to go.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to all you fools that ain't been there yet.
trust me. Port Royal is on my list. It's on my list.
Okay, but there's a lot of Port Royal shows, but you need to go to this one for sure. Anyone has never seen a Tuscarora 50. It is, I see some of the craziest racing. I've seen some pit road fights. I've seen some fights on the racetrack during this race. I mean, I watched this sucker get rained out on a Saturday. We run it on Sunday, and we there till midnight doing it again. I mean, it's just what we do. There is no curfew. There is, but they've paid the fine every time. They go over. It doesn't matter. They don't care. Racing is life in Port Royal, especially during fair week.
And
fair week, you're going to see some amazing late model racing too, because they combine the two. They run together during some of these weeks. So, woof, Lord, is it big.
And, you know, we talk about the World of Outlaws and how, you know, Carson Macedo, David Gravel, they've got 2 months, you know, 2.5 months leading up to the Nationals in November down in Charlotte. But, Christina, these all-star guys are running out of time. They basically have a month left of racing, and that's only about, it looks like I'm going to say 10 races without counting, about 10 races left. So you've got your doubleheader at Sharon coming up.
Oh,
you're
right. 10 exactly.
You've got your triple night race at Port Royal with your little PA swing there, because then you go to Williams Grove and Lincoln from there. Then you make a pit stop at Eldora before you finish the season with your two-night event in Fremont. So you know, these guys, Justin Peck, Anthony Macri, Cap Henry.
He's going to be hard to beat.
You know, I guess not Anthony Macri. He's not really in the points running.
No.
But Cap Henry, Hunter Schoenberg, Justin Peck.
Yeah.
These guys are running out of time to catch Tyler Courtney.
Yes. So this is the real kicker. This is not – so when we talk about what leading into Port Royal, what this means to the all-star guys, you mentioned Anthony Macri, right?
Right.
So Anthony Macri, let me tell you, I just would say watch out. He's been on a tear. Mind you, he is not battling for the Port Royal Championship. He opted out of that, and he's been driving all over the place, as we all know now. So why this is important is you're going to see not only this battle count for the All-Stars. These are points races for Port Royal's local track championship as well, which is why this always gets crazy. And there's some hurt feelings at the end. And the only reason I bring this up is for, you know, we're focusing on the All-Stars. Logan Wagner is battling his father for the championship at Port Royal.
Nice.
You know, I said you'd wreck your grandma to win. Don't think he won't wreck his dad. He's done it before. Ask his dad. It's hurt. He has literally sent his dad to the hospital once or twice. So you're going to see some crazy racing with 10 races left for the All-Stars. Now, mind you, this will cap off the season finale, season points ending races as well for Port Royal Speedway. They will not have – there will be other races after the All-Star Racing, but it will not be points racing. The points will end at the Tuscarora 50.
Yeah. So
– crazy.
So these All-Star guys, they don't have – they don't have much time left.
No.
Speaking of local short tracks, small town short tracks, Christina, real quick, we'll mention kind of my home track, dirt track, Wayne County Speedway. They wrapped up their points season this past weekend as well. Henry Malkin wins the Pine Tree Towing and Recovery Sprint Car Series there at Wayne County. He beats out Chris Myers and Tyler Street. Ryan Markham wins the Malkit Tavern Late Models. Colton Shaw, he wins the Elite Ammunition Modified. You got Kyle Moore winning the McKenzie Concrete Superstocks. And Doug Hensel wins another Joyride Transport Mini Stocks Championship there. That is all at Wayne County Speedway. Now, their points season is over, but their racing season still has a few races left. In fact, this coming weekend on Sunday, Christina, this is a big race for a lot of sprint car drivers. You will see a lot of big-name drivers making their way towards Wayne County this weekend, because on Sunday, every year, the Sunday of Labor Day weekend, we have the Pete Jacobs Memorial Race for sprint cars. That is $15,000 to win. Why this is a big deal, Pete Jacobs is a big name in sprint car racing. The Jacobs family are the original, some of the original owners of Wayne County Speedway. We've had, you know, Trey Jacobs on the show. His dad, Dean, has won multiple track championships at Wayne County. But Pete Jacobs is one of the original builders and owners of Wayne County Speedway. So every year on Labor Day weekend, to kind of, you know, wrap up the season, they have the Pete Jacobs Memorial Race, $15,000 to win. Also this year, that same night, they will have the 305 Race Saver Sprints running as well. And then they will have a couple nights of racing at the end of September, and that will basically wrap up then for sure Wayne County Speedway racing on September 23rd and 24th. That's a Friday and Saturday night. You can go to WayneCountySpeedway.com. You can check out the schedule, the remaining schedule there. You can also find out camping news, find out what you need to know if you want to take your camper there to camp that weekend of September 23rd and 24th, because they have certain areas where you can park your camper if you want to be there for the entire week. So check that out. But yeah, Christina, we have some champions there at Wayne County Speedway. So congrats to Henry Malkit, Ryan Markham, Colton Shaw, Kyler Moore, and Kyle Moore and Doug Hensel on winning your respective series championships at Wayne County. Christina, it's getting to be that time of year. You talk about Port Royal, you know, track championships. We talk about Wayne County track championships. It's beginning to be that time of year where these tracks are starting to wrap up their seasons and naming their champions. You're running out of weekends to go to your small town short track racetracks.
Yeah, and you don't want to miss out, because there's a lot you can go to. There's a lot still left. everybody might be wrapping up, but just keep in mind there could be other points, non-points racing going on. Always support them. Go to their local websites. There's a lot left. Don't miss out on this season. There's a lot of great racing, and I'm pretty sure we preach it all the time. But yeah,
every
so
weekend.
Make sure you go and do it. Be there.
Yes, for sure. All right, Christine, let's take a quick couple-minute break. When we come back on the other side for hour two, we'll talk about NASCAR. We'll find out who's in, who's out of the NASCAR playoffs. We'll talk about the Fastlane Sports Show playoffs final standings. We'll see who won our regular season standings. We'll talk about some other things going on with the show as well. We got a few other things coming up also. So keep it tuned right here. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back after this quick break.
357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847. For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. Thank you for listening tonight. We are glad that you are with us and joined us tonight. Barbasol phone lines are open, 657-383-1903. That is the number to call if you want to call in and talk about dirt racing or your local small town short tracks. If maybe we missed your track, you want to buy it, go ahead and call on in. We'll talk to you. But for now, Christina, playoffs are set. We've got 16 drivers in the playoffs. And boy, oh boy, did we have one driver not make the playoffs this year really is sad. I thought he would probably win the championship this year, but I guess he's not going to be able to. Huh? What?
Oh, Lord. You killed me. You're funny.
Truex. I feel bad for Truex. So, you know, he's getting to be the end of his career. He's getting old. You know, he just wants to win another championship.
He's not much older than us.
No. Oh, Christina, we have 16 drivers ready to make their bid for a 2022 NASCAR championship. Let's start with Daytona, the race that ended the NASCAR regular season and set all of this in motion.
Technically, I think it changed before we even got to Daytona. Kurt Busch changed the whole outlook.
Yeah.
As to what was going to happen. I'm not upset by what he did at all. I mean, he did probably what was the right thing to do, knowing he's not sure when he's going to get back. And he didn't want to take a spot from somebody and not race for it. I commend him 100%. I do hope he gets better and can race at some point to finish this season. I do hope that happens. I mean, it just goes to show you that they need to work on this car, which we'll talk about that too, a little bit more to see how it can be improved and be safer. I mean, that hit he took didn't look that bad at Pocono, but little do we know what happened in the car, which is where they need to look at trying, I guess, taking these drivers, getting some, you know, feedback and making it better for next season. Whatever. That's my gripe. But so he kind of made it a little less hectic, I thought, leading into Daytona. All he had to do was, oh, man. I think they made it harder on themselves. Let's be honest. Blaney and Truex did not take the easy way out. They made Daytona so much harder for themselves.
Yeah.
Like, a lot harder. Blaney especially made it harder on himself, because did he not get wrecked, like, I don't know, 20 laps in or something like that? I mean, I was like, what the heck is going on? All he has to do is finish the damn race and he'd be fine, but geez. So, Saturday obviously didn't happen, as we all know. Mother Nature. We're in Florida. We're in hurricane season. It's going to rain. And it's going to rain a lot. Which we saw that postponement of the Xfinity race. Oh, Lord. Did you watch that? Did you stay up? Because I did.
I did not.
Okay, so I'm an idiot. Okay? I work Saturday now. I'm not a Monday to Friday gal anymore. My job, I work for Toyota. We work 24/7 now. I feel like. That's what it feels like. But, so I got home Friday. I was like, ooh, yes, Xfinity racing. Oh, no, rain. I was like, ooh. I was like, okay, is this going to be postponed? Are we going to do a doubleheader on Saturday? No! Finally got the track dried. I'm shocked they got it dried. I think we went green at, like, what, 10 p.m., something like that. I'm like,
yeah, it was late.
This will be quick. This will be quick. Bullshit. Anything but quick.
Right?
I don't know. I don't know if it's because they were in a rain delay for 8 hours and got antsy, and I don't know. I don't know. It's just because they're Xfinity drivers. They know one thing, and that's speed. Pure, unadulterated speed, and that's what happened. But I will tell you this. I never cursed so much at AJ Allmendinger in my entire life more than I did that race. That's all I got to say. That little bastard. Wrecked the wrong junior motorsports car. God damn it, if you wanted to get payback for being wrecked by Justin Allgaier, you should have wrecked him. Not Noah. damn, not the driver that had one of the best cars all night leading a bunch of race track, you know, laps, kept it clean. He didn't bump and run nobody. He didn't swear. I think him and Justin Allgaier switched bodies or something, because Justin Allgaier ain't a friend of nobody's right now. I don't know. Justin Allgaier better make up to his teammates and some other people, or he ain't going far in the playoffs. That's all I got to say. So, we get some crazy wrecks. I don't know what happened. There was carnage in that race. Noah took two bad hits. And those were two rough hits and everything, too. He's all right. He raced the next day. Well, I mean, he raced Sunday. We'll talk about that in a minute. But how about Jeremy Clements, though? Daytona is the product of underdog racing. That's my whole spiel. Underdog racing. I was never so excited to cheer for somebody other than AJ Allmendinger so hard in my life. And we know Jeremy Clements. You do, I do, the show does, this network does. He's been on the show or on any of the platform shows we have. He's been on them a lot. He is a driver that has consistently always said yes. We hung out with him in Richmond. We hung out with him in Martinsville. I mean, he's a nice guy. Under budget team, family run team. And I'm just saying, I was pumped. Pretty sure I scared all my neighbors awake with that race. I'm pretty sure I did. You know, he gets the win. Timmy Hill finishes second. Brandon Brown with a damn wrecked old race car sitting in fourth. I mean, and the craziest thing is, let me just tell you how cool this is. His first win, Jeremy Clements' first win, came on August 27th of, I think it was 2019. That race went into Saturday. Y'all, he won again on August 27th. Both Jeremy Clements' wins come on the exact same day. Isn't that ironic? I don't know if it's ironic or pure, I don't know. That's a motorsports juju thing or something. That's what that is. So, yeah, that and mind you, folks, the Xfinity Series, they ain't done with their regular season yet. So just wait. It ain't done yet. And I'm pretty sure it's Justin Allgaier, AJ Allmendinger feud that's going on, because they've been wrecking each other the last couple weeks. I don't think it's over yet. I really don't. I think it's just beginning, and it's going to get worse. I just hope they don't take out everybody else contending for a championship in the middle of it. But we shall see. So that was the prelude. So if you watch that race, what I'm trying to get at is, we should have known that Saturday/Sunday's race was going to be nothing short of chaos.
And it was.
You didn't watch yesterday. I updated y'all. I felt like a play-by-play announcer going on.
I was following it kind of on my NASCAR mobile app and my DraftKings app, because the team that I drafted for DraftKings, they were all wrecked by about lap 130. So I had basically Kyle Busch was my only driver left that was still running.
He didn't do too bad,
but it sounded like it was everybody racing for one last playoff spot, and it sounded like NASCAR made some poor decisions and wrecked some vehicles by their own doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah, I got comments about that too. And then I got comments for people on Twitter. So, obviously, we know it did not happen Saturday. There was no way, folks, they were going to get that track dried on Saturday. None. The infield was a damn pond. Not puddles, a pond. There is no way. If the infield is that wet, there's no way that the damn racetrack was going to dry. You know how the water became, how the infield became a pond? It ran down the track, y'all. That's how that happened. And it rained like a mofo in Florida. All right. So they decided to do the smart thing. This is the only smart thing NASCAR did, which was a 10 a.m. start time. I wasn't really mad about it. I didn't work Sunday, so I was like, okay. Mind you, I was probably up till 3 o'clock Saturday morning and Sunday. That's besides the point. But I liked it. I was like, oh, okay, so we're not really competing. Yes, everyone's like, oh, you're competing with F1 racing and da-da-da-da. Guys, F1 racing is always that early in the morning. If you're up that early to watch F1 racing, more power to you. I just catch the highlights later on in the day, and I just make sure that the driver I like wins. That's all I care about. So I was like, okay, 10 a.m. start time. Good on them, because guess what happened? A goddamn brain delay in the middle of the day, and we still got the race in. And we didn't have to call it for rain. Thank God. We finally got a whole Daytona race in. Mind you, only 10 cars were racing at the end, but, you know, that's besides the point. What happened to cause this big melee is the fact that NASCAR can't go to in-car cameras, can't go looking at other footage and film around the track to see it's raining at half the track a whole damn lap before a wreck happened. I'm so disgruntled about this. The damn spotter standing, you could hear the spotter saying, it's raining where they were. Just saying, if it's raining where the spotter stand is, folks, it's going to be raining on the racetrack, whether you see it or not. And how the hell does Daniel Suarez and Denny Hamlin, who are racing for the lead, don't fuck touch each other until they already both spun out? And everybody in the booth like, oh my, what would have happened? Did something break on the race car? Ain't nothing broke on the race cars, y'all. It's raining. It's a hot ass racetrack and slick tires. What do you think's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And all I got to say is, the boys in the booth, I don't care if you work for NASCAR or not. Y'all were so damn terrible at trying to cover up the biggest F-up I've seen all year. That race could have been cautioned before they got to the damn front stretch. Or the back stretch. Wherever the hell that wreck happened. I believe it was on the front stretch. They could have had that before they got into turn one. It could have been done. It could have been yellow flags. It's a damn button. Tell me they didn't have time to push the button. They prematurely press that button all the time.
Yeah.
Which, mind you, took out half the field and a lot of great race cars. Just saying.
And killed my DraftKings lineup.
Oh, it killed everybody. Well, no, it did. We'll talk about that coolness that happened. But... And when the yellow flag came out, I will fight this with anyone. Austin Dillon was not the leader when the yellow flag came out. Initially, when the yellow flag came out, because the video proof is there, they just didn't go back to it because they know that it was there. And they, you know, never went back to that footage. You can see from certain in-car audio camera footage when the yellow flag came out. And when the yellow flag came out, it was Kevin Harvick leading.
I wonder, do you think maybe that's why they just went to the garage and didn't restart after the race or after the rain?
Nah. No, their front end was killed because when he tried to gas it more to make the little hole when the cars came up, it destroyed the front end. He wasn't going to be able to finish the race either way. And he had an interview. Actually, they interviewed a good bit of drivers. I'm shocked that they interviewed any driver, because all these drivers basically called NASCAR out. as they should have. So he even said, if you go back to the loop, I would have been the leader. But yet we're going home. We'll be home before this race is even finished.
Well, and I understand if he's frustrated because he should have been the leader, but the point is they didn't finish
the
race.
He was more pissed.
They had more damage, though.
Yeah, because they didn't yellow flag the race when they should have. That's where I think he was more pissed off, is the fact that we shouldn't have even gotten to that point, and he shouldn't have had to try to gas it there. Besides the point, and it's Kevin Harvick. He's going to be mad about anything and everything. And I can't wait to go to Darlington and see if him and Chase Elliott go for round four. But, so that, and then Austin Dillon, I will give him, I'm not going to give him credit. I will say I thought it was commendable that they asked him, he's like, you mean when we go back green? Because he was not banking on winning this race under the rain condition at all, which, it's commendable. I still don't like him. I don't have to like him. I never will like him. I really don't like his TV show that I get forced to watch the last 10 minutes of because I got to wait for that to end for the pre-race to show up. That annoys the hell out of me every week. He went as low as possible and came out what they called as the leader. And I wasn't sure he was actually going to win the race. Because if you watch the last 15, 20 laps, anyone could have won that race.
Oh, yeah. I did watch the last last 10 or 15 laps on my NASCAR mobile app.
Yeah, well, how many people were cheering for Noah Gragson? Because Noah,
he was coming.
After being wrecked, in the Xfinity race, he goes to the Beer Motorsports car. Now, for those folks, Beer Motorsports has one full-time employee. The rest are, people that show up to help at race day. One person is a full-time employee. He managed this race very well. Yes, he was towards the back most of the day, but mind you, they only have one or two cars a year. So he's got to be mindful to try and keep that car in as tact as possible because they will race that car again at Talladega, which we all know what happens at Talladega. It's worse than Daytona. So he did well, managed it well, and stepped up with an old friend. We all know him and Tyler Reddick are friends. On the track, off the track, they're friends. And there is an alliance between Beard Motorsports and RCR. That's where they get help from, is from RCR. So I'm like, oh, here we go. He's pushing the boy up front. Here we go. But I knew it wasn't going to last forever, and I knew, and Noah knew. He even said it in an interview he did with Bob Prochrist. He's like, I knew if I pulled out, he wasn't going to go. If they would have pulled out in that last two laps, he would have fell back and wouldn't have gotten the top five he got. He's not dumb. He knew Tyler Reddick was going to be the company man, which is what he did. Now, I'm sure Austin Cedric would have liked somebody else to pull out or do something, considering he got wrecked by the three. So, no, he got wrecked. You can clearly see it was a wreck. He got wrecked. He got dumped.
Told you that was going to happen because Austin Dillon was going for the win to make the playoffs. Austin Cendrick's already in the playoffs. So you know Dillon was going to do something. One of the last couple laps.
And what's ironic is they kept telling Austin Cendrick throughout the race what he needed to do to help Blaney.
Right.
There's multiple team orders across everything. So Cedric knew he was supposed to try to go out there. Obviously, he wants to win the race anyway. But if he won the race, it would totally and 100% secure Blaney in the playoffs. Because no new winner means him and Truex both would have went in.
Right.
So that was a scenario playing out throughout the race. They would play radio communication to Cedric about what was going on and what he needed to do to help Blaney. I mean, mind you, all three guys that are at Penske now are going to stay at Penske for long term. Austin Cedric Stab works for Penske. He's done fairly well in his rookie year as well. So I either way, he'll be there for a while. And the other two just signed multi-year long-term contracts. And then you see on the Toyota side of things, they're telling Denny Hamlin now what he needs to do to help Martin Truex. Mind you, they replayed it. He clearly slowed down, held up Joey Logano so Truex could get more points and be scored ahead of Denny Hamlin at the end of stage two. Ironically, this was some serious teamwork and stuff going on. I've never seen so much strategy pulled into a Daytona race. I mean, until it didn't matter, because Truex was involved in that wreck as well, the one that the rain caused, actually, NASCAR officials called. So he was involved in that. I don't even know how that side panel bumper came off. I watched the replay about five times. It just pops off. So he's missing part of the, you know, I believe it's the left front fender above the tire. I think it was that side that he was missing. He had zero aero. He was terrible. He had zero speed towards the end of this race. All he had to do was not let people pass him. That didn't happen. And about five cars in front of Blaney, I don't know what happened, had issues. We saw it. Was it Cole Custer or was it the other guy? What's the other guy's name?
Chase Briscoe?
Yeah, Briscoe. Yeah, they look the same numbers, just inverted. Had an issue, which I thought they were going to call a caution because there was debris, but they didn't. He helped Ryan Blaney. I don't know. There's a couple other cars that wrecked or something happened. And Ryan Blaney, by the skin of his little teethers, counts blessings and gives some fruit baskets to these people that ended up falling out at the end of this race. Because he made a point, made the championship by 3 points.
Yeah. Well, it was a
and
crazy.
Yet, and yet, we have a driver that was, what, in the top 10 in points, top 5 in points consistently all year, right? Was that how it was? Was he in the top 5 consistently, I think?
True.
Regular season? Yeah, wasn't he?
He was below Blaney most of the year, so.
Yeah, but they were in, like, the top 5 or 6 of points, I think, somewhere in there.
Yeah, they were up to the top 10 for sure.
For sure. But, yeah, he's on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
That's magical.
Well,
I like it, but yet I hate it at the same time.
It was a crazy Daytona race with all of the rain, 2 days to run, lots of wrecked vehicles towards the end. But through it all, we have 16 drivers who have now made the NASCAR playoffs for 2022. Of those 16 drivers, we have Chase Elliott, Joey Logano, Ross Chastain, Kyle Larson, William Byron, Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, Tyler Reddick, Kevin Harvick, Christopher Bell, Kyle Busch, Chase Briscoe, Daniel Suarez, Austin Cindric, Alex Bowman, and Austin Dillon. Now, listening to those drivers, those 16 drivers, we have all 4 Hendrick cars in the playoffs. We have both Trackhouse Racing drivers in the playoffs, Chastain and Suarez. We have both RCR drivers in the playoffs with Reddick and Dillon. All 3 Penske drivers are in the playoffs, Logano, Blaney, and Cindric. And 3 of the 4 Joe Gibbs Racing drivers are in, Truex being the one not in. Of course, we have Hamlin, Bell, and Busch in the playoffs. We've got Briscoe and Harvick, part of Stewart-Haas Racing. They are in the playoffs. Almirola and Cole Custer not making the playoffs. Cole Custer not having the best season.
He's not having a great year.
No, not having the best season. Finished down at the bottom there with Michael McDowell. Harrison Burton, another driver, not having a very good first year for himself. There in
Michael
the Woods
McDowell.
Brother car.
Michael McDowell is the one that shocks me because we've been talking about him more and more throughout, you know, as the season has progressed. I'm shocked he's 26th in points, but yet I'm not. I am kind of because we've talked about him quite a bit recently. He's had some great races. I that's who I took for Daytona because he's won there before. He's good at these tracks. He just caught up, like you said. Everybody got caught up in something. I don't think, honestly, the least wrecked race cars were the three and the Beer Motorsports car. They had the least damage of all the cars.
Well, listen, you know, when it comes to, Michael McDowell had a great
Daytona's
year.
A crapshoot.
Michael McDowell only had two DNFs all season.
Mm-hmm.
He had 10 top 10s, okay? Now, listen to some of these drivers that are in the playoffs. William Byron, only 5 top 10s and 6 DNFs. Denny Hamlin, only 7 top 10s and 5 DNFs. Here you go. Chase Briscoe,
that's
4 fun. Top 10s, 3 DNFs. Austin Cindric,
mm-hmm.
Austin Dillon, under 10, 8 top 10 themselves, and then 4 and 6. DNFs respectively for those two drivers. So, if he had gotten a win, Michael McDowell would have been, you know, right up there. He's in the same boat, I feel, as Truex is in. Those two drivers under the cut line had very decent years. They just could not get to victory lane and could not secure themselves a playoff spot. Now, had Michael McDowell and Martin Truex Jr. and Ryan Blaney all three gotten into victory lane, Michael McDowell probably still would have been on the outside looking in. But, to give that team a win with those other stats, I mean, to only have two DNFs all season, he had less DNFs than Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson had 6, you know. So Michael McDowell is nothing to be ashamed of. That was a great season for him. But like we talked about in Talking Dirty, that team had a good year. There was just a few other teams that had better year and made the playoffs. So we have the playoffs are set, Christina, and I think it's going to be a good 2022 season for the playoffs. Go to NASCAR.com. You can go to NASCAR.com. You can click on the standings tab, and then you can click on playoff standings, and you can print yourself off the 2022 NASCAR playoff grid, and you can fill that out and see if you can predict this year's playoffs. Who do you think will make it to the next round, each round? All the way to the championship and who could make the championship and win the championship. You can do that all on NASCAR.com. Christina, how about our season? We had a pretty good season as well. You had a really good season. Oh, yeah, okay. Listen to you.
I did not win the regular season championship, though.
You didn't. Congrats to Ty. Finishing 3 points shy of 900. Mm-hmm. But Ty wins the Fastlane Sports Show NASCAR Pick'em Challenge League regular season, finishing 34 points ahead of Jeremy, 62 points ahead of you, 66 ahead of Tristan. Debbie rounded out the top five. Under 100 points. She was 96 points back there of first place as well. Anthony finishing 6th in the regular season standings with no wins. Yeah. So
no wins.
Not having a bad season, but now that the playoff standings reset everything, he finds himself at the very bottom. They reset to 100, and that's where he is at now. He is at the bottom. But you know what? Only 20 points back. Everybody will be drafting their teams, who they want.
I already did.
For the playoffs. Yeah, Christina already giving me who she wants. I had a few other people message me today as well, drafted their team. I drafted my team also. So we've got four teams drafted already. We've got 10 other people, but, you know, they have till Thursday to get their teams submitted
no,
to me.
No, I had to do it first, or I would forget.
Right.
I don't want to be disqualified.
Oh, no. I will remind everybody by Wednesday, Thursday morning, if I don't have them in yet, to make sure. You know, people have till midnight Thursday night to get them in, so we'll definitely have time for that. And I'm excited to see who can win the whole thing. And can Debbie defend her trophy? She's only 5 points behind you, Christina. So she's right there. She's not far back.
I'm the Chase Elliott. I'm the Chase Elliott of our series. I have the most playoff points going in. Granted, I don't have nearly as many as Chase has. I feel like I need a recount.
Oh,
so
here
I have
we
as
go.
Many as Chase does. No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. Mind you, I did have four wins. I did not expect myself going into this to get four wins on the year. But I got lucky with some guys playing and rolling the dice fairly well. I think what set me apart, and that's why I got the fourth win, I took Kevin Harvick at a racetrack no one else did.
Right. Yeah.
That is what
that
did
helped.
It, folks. I took the guy, the old man that everyone gave up on.
You know what's funny, too, is you have the same amount of wins this year as Chase Elliott. You're first when it comes to playoffs. Debbie is second.
Wow.
Debbie is second with 115 points to start the playoffs, and three
wins.
That's more than
her boy does.
She's second going into the playoffs, and so is her favorite driver is second in the playoffs. So
she just had more wins than he did.
She did. She's way better at NASCAR than Joey Logano. So, they both have a championship. They're both previous champions.
Yes, they do.
So,
is Chase Elliott. So, I mean, but I don't think I ever won one of these. I could be wrong. If we went back to Slicks and Sticks days, I can't remember. That was 15 years of doing this. That's a long time.
Oh, yeah. For sure. So, that's where we sit for that. Christina, before we run out of too much time, well, go ahead.
No, I just need to know one thing.
Okay.
Did anyone else pick the same non-playoff driver as me?
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay, good.
Not yet. I don't want to reveal the teams yet. That's why I turned the commenting off on that post. I want all of the teams to be drafted anonymously for now, and then I will post them all Friday morning. That way everybody can see the teams all at the same time. Everybody has a chance to see the teams all at the same time because I'm allowing everybody to make one change, one driver change to their team.
That'll be my change. If I do make a change, folks, I will keep everybody posted, obviously, because I do. If I do make one change, it would be my non-playoff driver.
I like where Jeremy was coming from. If he had mentioned that or thought of it,
well, Jeremy doesn't think ahead like that. Come on now.
Well,
he's already posted to say something.
right. Had he even a few weeks ago mentioned something like that, I would have brought it to, you know, our council and had everybody vote on it.
We'll do it for next year, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think
that will
year
definitely
you do it automatically.
That will definitely be a rule change.
That would be better.
That will be a rule change for 2023, so I will definitely do that. But we got a few other things to get in. Let's do your penalty box pick, though, while we're still here.
Oh, God.
because I got to hear this. So let me, we got to queue up the sounder too. So let me get the Pelly Box sounder here, and we'll get, this is your favorite, this is your favorite part. You love it. Okay, for anybody new to the show or people who have forgotten because we've been off the air so much lately, that is our Pelly Box founder. This is Christina's favorite part of the show. She gets to be the mean bully and throw somebody into the Pelly Box. Christina, who is that somebody or somebodies? I think I can guess, but let's hear it.
Okay. It's a long list. It's a full box.
Oh, boy.
I mean, Antonio Brown ain't going to be lonely, that's for sure. So, A.J. Allmendinger is victim number one of the penalty box. But you wrecked the wrong junior motorsports guy. Get the, your damn head out of your ass, act like a past champion, and race like one. And then come out on the air and say in your interview that, oh, did you hear it was just today, dude. Boy, Justin Allgaier did the same thing to you, and you were cursing up a storm saying, if you find him, you're going to wreck him. Well, you wrecked the wrong guy, okay? I don't appreciate y'all attacking Noah like that. So, he gets to sit in the box. NASCAR. NASCAR officials, NASCAR front office executives. There's a long line of people that could sit in the penalty box. First off, if you're going to move Daytona from July 4th weekend to August, y'all are dumb. Dumb. I will repeat what I said earlier. Hurricane season is June through the beginning of November. You know where you could run Daytona and verify find yourself with very little rain? Guess where? Championship weekend. The same. Switch it up. Change it. If you're going to bitch about the rain, y'all better change the damn weekend of Daytona's second race. Or better yet, just make it on the damn road course and be done with it. I'd be okay with that.
Yep.
And then, if y'all going to try to race in the rain like you tried to make them do yesterday, don't do it on the damn oval with slick tires. Going 200 mile an hour into a turn where you could clearly see it was raining, and you still let them go in there head first and disaster happened. Y'all ought to be goddamn lucky nobody got hurt. Nobody went airborne and nobody got hurt. I'd be damn lucky because it could have been bad. Y'all could have had somebody hurt. Look, I'm just saying, I don't like Denny Hamlin very much, but he complained about how his whole damn body hurt after that. Even his jaw hurt. So I'm just saying. And to the fans on Twitter. Y'all want to come at some people and make some stupid-ass comments. Yes, I'm a female. Yes, I know about racing. I've been in racing since the day I was born. I probably know more about racing than you do in your little fickle head and as you sit there and want to be a keyboard warrior. Don't tell me to get in the kitchen and make a sandwich because those are words that make me want to punch you in the face. Just because I'm a female. I don't know how many times I have to go through this and say this. Don't tell women they don't have a right to like racing or know about racing. That makes you sexist. That makes you arrogant. It makes you a pig. They could have done so many different things to make that race avoid that wreck. One being, don't race in the fucking rain. And to somebody telling me, oh, look at the in-car camera. I did, asshole. It was raining. Now you go look at the damn videos that were sent to Jeff Gluck and Bob Pockrass, who retweeted them. You can clearly see the fans taking videos and it's raining as they're coming into that turn. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, keep running your gums. One day it'll come back and bite you in the ass. And for that, y'all can sit in the penalty box because I'm tired of dealing with stupid consistently. Social media can be a great thing, and social media can be a disaster. And people like that make me hate social media and make me want to tell people's mamas, y'all raised some assholes. I bet you don't tell your mama to go make you a damn sandwich like that. Don't tell somebody you surely hell don't know to make you a sandwich. I'm pretty sure if I could, I'd come across the damn computer screen and y'all be missing some teeth. Just say. That is the penalty box.
Whew.
I'm done now.
Okay. Goodness. Such anger. All right. Well, there's your penalty box. Goodness gracious. We're going to get a sponsor update.
Hey,
that.
Let's talk about the coolest thing that happened thanks to Daytona and the crazy wreck that happened. Did you see? I'm sure you saw it somehow. But on FanDuel, you get free bets or whatever. I don't know, folks. I don't do that. But you get free bets or whatever. So this one, actually a couple different people, but the coolest one is somebody turned a $13.49 bet into $999,000 payout after cashing a four-leg parlay for a top 10. Y'all don't understand. This is the coolest thing. So this person, now, mind you, this is just one of like about four people I've seen post their parlays on social media. Cody Ware, BJ McLeod, Landon Castle, David Reagan. Okay, those four people, four drivers he picked in a parlay to get a top 10 finish at Daytona, won him $999,000.
Crazy.
That's about $1 million payout. And that's not
crazy.
The only one. There's a couple I saw that had to happen, too. Because somebody had Noah actually in their top in, one of those parlays as well. So there's a couple different people now that posted their thing from FanDuel. I mean, I'm pretty sure FanDuel's losing, like, hardcore money after this Daytona race because, like, six people won all but $1 million on their own parlays. On free bets, folks. On a free bet. Not a $100 bet, like legit. What? But no, I'm not good like that, folks, and I don't do that, and I wouldn't know what I'm doing. But yeah, that's what happened. That's the coolest
crazy.
Thing for me. The coolest
crazy.
Moment at Daytona, our regular old Joe, maybe not, maybe he, maybe he comes from money. I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter. He was very excited, and he wanted all but $1 million.
Nice.
Granted, he's not going to see all that because taxes go about to take half of that. That's besides
right.
the point. Good
right.
for him, though. I'm still cool as to what it is.
Nice. Well, we've got some news, so let's talk the show for just a little bit to finish up. We've only got about 10 minutes left of the show anyway. So I am changing positions at work. I will not have a regular schedule anymore after September 9th. So the week of September 12th, for a few weeks there, I'll know what I'm working, but it'll be kind of all over the place. And then after that, I'm going to be working all kinds of weird stuff because I'm going to transportation side of the railroad. So I will not. I will no longer have a regular schedule. As long as I have Monday nights off, we will have a show. But we will play that by ear, and we'll see. So, Christina, we might have to have a show on a Wednesday night, or on a Friday night, or on a Sunday night. Who knows? Who knows? So, just make sure, everybody, make sure you follow Fast Lane Sports Show on Facebook and Twitter. And if you're friends with me on my personal Facebook as well, I will keep you posted as to when the show will be. And this is, again, this is later in September. So we're definitely going to have a show Monday, which is Labor Day. We'll have a show that night because that'll be probably the last regular Monday night show for now, in the foreseeable future. Also, this Saturday...
He's lying to y'all. He's going to management. Stop it.
I wish. I wish.
No, you don't. Don't wish that. Don't wish that.
I'm trying.
You don't want that. You don't want that responsibility, that stress. Come on now. Stop it. You got a kid in college. You don't want that.
This Saturday, Christina, September 3rd, not only is it Mrs. Fastlane's birthday, Katie has a birthday Saturday, we are going to be at Jennerstown. Finally.
Oh, nice.
This will be the first weekend I've gotten to go to Jennerstown this year. It took till September, but we finally.
Hence,
we're
that's why you
there.
Changed your schedule to begin with.
Yeah, right. So we'll be at Jennerstown Saturday covering that racing. There's a big 75-lap feature for the late models that night at Jennerstown. So we will be. What's that?
Said about time you go see some late models.
Well, it's asphalt, but you know,
it's still late models. It works.
Still late models. Oh yeah. So we'll be there Saturday for that. Also, if you follow us on Facebook, and if you're friends with me on Facebook as well, you will see that we are going to have a NFL Pick'em challenge again this year for the regular season. Be sure to sign up for that. Each week I'm going to post that week's schedule on Wednesday morning because there's Thursday games. So I will post the schedule on Wednesday, and you just go through and you pick who is going to win each game. And then at the end of the regular season, whoever has the best record will win the 2022 FLSS NFL Pick'em Challenge League. We've got some beautiful handmade wooden trophies here that I got to get some stuff attached to. So you can win a trophy. We'll have prizes throughout that season as well. We still have our NASCAR league going as well, but yeah, we're gonna have an NFL Pick'em Challenge League this year as well. So I'm excited. We've already got a couple guys signed up for that. So Christina, you're signed up already. So you're gonna.
I know. So here's the real funny part. I'm in that one and another one at work, but the one for work is money.
Oh yeah, see, there's no money for us.
Yeah, this is $5 a week.
Okay.
Granted, it's not a lot of money. I'm only putting in $5 a week. But nonetheless, we'll see how this goes.
Oh, yeah. So that's all the news about the Fast Lane. Just make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We'll keep everybody updated as to my work schedule and when we can do these shows. So I'm trying to keep stuff posted, but you know, it's just me and Christina doing this. We got to find somebody. We got to hire an assistant. We need more sponsors. Yeah, we need some more sponsors. So if anybody knows any companies out
there. Why do you think
there,
I work Monday through Saturday now? Come on now.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. So, well, Christina, I think that about does it for us tonight. I think we got through everything. We'll be back Labor Day night. We'll be in Jennerstown. We'll be back on the airwaves Saturday. We'll get stuff set up. We always have stuff set up in Jennerstown because they actually have internet, Wi-Fi there for us. So we'll have the laptop set up. We'll have the show queued up sometime Saturday night. You'll have to watch. We'll get that posted. I'll have Christina jump on real quick and help me. We'll try and interview some drivers. We'll talk to we'll try and talk to Billy, and we'll see how the race can go Saturday. So I'm excited. We got a lot going on. Just biggest thing is follow us on Facebook and Twitter to stay updated. Other than that, Christina, you know, hit up the small town short track. You've only got a few weeks left to do it.
That's the whole thing. Get out there, get it done, get dirty, see some racing. I expect to see everybody at a racetrack that can be at one. But that, I got to report back to Toyota early in the morning again. I will see y'all on the flip side, and it'll be Tuesday before we know it, and it'll be Friday, and racing will be ready.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, Christina, have a good night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Peace out, y'all. Be kind. Be fun. Have fun.
All right, everybody, that was my co-host, Christina. Thank you for tuning in again tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show. We got a lot coming up, going on with the show, so make sure you follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, so that you are up to date and informed throughout the week. Be sure to find us on Facebook. Sign up for the NFL Pick'em Challenge. You can get in on that. That will be a great time. Like I said, prizes throughout the season and a trophy at the end for the winner of the NFL Pick'em Challenge. Have a great rest of your week, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. Hope you all enjoyed the show. We'll be right back here on Saturday night, so be sure to watch for that, and then Monday night as well. Have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to everybody later in the week. See ya!